I wonder if you can guess which Anglican leader made this statement. Which Anglican leader made this statement? Do you not know that God entrusted you with that money, all above what buys necessities for your families? To feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to help the stranger, the widow, the fatherless, and indeed as far as it will go to relieve the wants of all mankind. How can you, how dare you defraud the Lord by applying it to other purpose? You guess which Anglican leader said those words? It was John Wesley, young evangelical Anglican pastor. You'd obviously read Mark Gully's Jesus, Mean and Wild. And he didn't go down very well in the Church of England. Pulpits were closed to him. Doors were shut, locked. He was kicked out. And God used him to help found the Methodist Church. John Wesley also said this: when a man becomes a Christian, he becomes industrious, trustworthy, and prosperous. Now, if that man, when he gets all he can and saves all he can, does not give all he can, I have more hope for Judas Iscariot than for that man. Sober, isn't it? Jesus, Mean and Wild. This morning in our series, we're going to meet a lady who knew how to handle money. And I want us to observe how impressed Jesus was with her, rather than with her contemporaries. We don't know her name, but we do learn three things about her. True giving is unpretentious, true giving is sacrificial, and true giving is reckless. True giving is reckless. There is an outline I hope you can follow with me. First of all, notice, true giving is unpretentious. This giving is observed by God's Son. Jesus sat opposite the place where the offering were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Imagine the scene. Jesus has just had this rather tense confrontation with the religious leaders. Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and they have most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' homes, and for a show of lengthy prayers, these men will be punished most severely. Jesus is in the temple, and he sits in the very place opposite where people are throwing their money into the temple treasury. Yes, it says they were throwing their money in. It was actually in the court of the women. Both men and women were allowed to come in because that's where the temple treasury was located. And there were apparently 13 trumpet-shaped collection boxes, you know, with a broad top so that you could literally throw money in, and it made a noise as the coins hit metal on metal. Each trumpet, each collection box had a purpose. There was a box for the building fund. There was a box for the priest's salary. There was a box for helping the poor. And we're told that when people put their tithe and their offerings into the boxes, they would announce how much they were giving and its purpose. So they might say, £500 for the building fund and £200 for the hungry. And Jesus is observing. And this woman comes, a widow, probably dressed in black. Her two coins were lepta, the smallest coins in circulation. they were worth almost nothing. They're the kind of coins that if you see them in the road, the street, you don't bother to pick them up. And had it not been for Jesus, her visit to the temple would have been unnoticed and certainly unrecorded. But Jesus not only observes her giving, he observes her motivation. Do you realize God is observing our motivations this morning? Does he delight in our motives and not just what we're wearing, what we're saying, what we're doing? See, giving is an act of worship. It's our response to God's generosity. And in giving, we are expressing our gratefulness. But it is not, repeat, not the amount that God is interested in, but our motivation. True giving is unpretentious, observed by God's Son. Secondly, true giving is sacrificial. It is prized in God's economy. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others." Amidst the noise of the coins being tossed into the collection boxes, this woman's contribution was not heard. But in God's upside-down economy, the noise of her small gift was deafening. And although she leaves unnoticed by the crowds, Jesus draws attention to her. For 2,000 years, Jesus has been drawing attention to her. It's not the amount, but the motivation that is prized in God's economy. Think about it. Money has absolutely no value to God. God doesn't need our money. Paul says to the Athenians, the God who made the earth, the world, and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't live in temples built by hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needs anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. You see, God wants us to give, not because he needs our money, but because we need to give to show that we trust him. The Lord puts it like this in 2 Corinthians 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give whatever you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Our generosity is measured not by what others may give, but by what we are capable of giving and by what we are willing to give. And that's why at Christchurch we encourage members, not visitors. Visitors may put some gifts in the plate if you so wish, but we encourage and expect members to give joyfully, willingly, freely, secretly, and in proportion to your ability. Because God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you may need, you will abound in every good work. See, that's the promise. And that's why we invite everyone who is a member of Christchurch to pledge up front in November for the year ahead. And if you pledged, thank you. And if you've delivered on that pledge, thank you. Thank you. But if you pledged and you haven't responded, now's a good day to change your bank standing order, isn't it? Because God knows what's in our hearts. And if you don't give on a regular basis, why not test God's generosity? It's why we're supporting Veronica going out to Kenya again on her second mission trip to help work in this hospital, Kijabi. She's going to be working particularly with the terminally ill, those who are chronically ill, and those who are unable. We want to support those in particular who are unable to pay for their medical care. So whether you can come on the walk or not, we invite you to contribute to that ministry. Mother Teresa said this. She said, if you give what you don't need, it isn't giving. If you give what you don't need, it isn't giving. You know, you can feel really good giving things to the charity shop, but it's not giving. It's not biblical giving. That's the principle behind tithing. Giving a tenth of one's income to the Lord was only the start of giving. Free will offering was just that, separate and over and above one's responsibilities. You know, there's only one place in the Bible, one place in the Bible where we are told to test God. We're forbidden to test God repeatedly in the Bible, but in one place and on one time, we're told to test him. Through the prophet Malachi, God says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. God is inviting us to test his faithfulness, test his provision. That's what this woman was doing. I used to worry about this woman as a young Christian. What happened to her? But she was demonstrating giving that was unpretentious, giving that was observed by God, giving that was sacrificial. Unpretentious giving, sacrificial giving. And thirdly, true giving is reckless. This woman was reckless because she was trusting in God's provision. Jesus concludes, they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. All she had to live on. You see, what some might regard as reckless foolishness, Jesus praises. He praises her because she had literally given her worldly wealth to the God she loved. She placed herself entirely in the hands of God. And there is no safer place to be. No one else to provide for her. She was a widow. But in this act of dedication, she was acknowledging her dependence on God. I wonder if you've ever been in that kind of place. It can be scary, but it can be totally liberating. I can only remember once in my life when I've been in that place. I was a student, university. I had worked for a few years before then, and when I became a Christian, I gave it all away. I didn't feel I needed any savings. I regretted that later in life, but I gave it away. And I was trusting God as a young Christian, trying to live out this principle. And I went on holiday with a friend to Sweden. And I discovered to my cost that it was rather more expensive in Sweden, even busking, than I had budgeted for. And in the last few days, I survived on bread and jam all the way home on the ferry. And as I returned home, and I got back to Harwich docks with nothing in my pockets. And I walked into the toilet, and I came out of the toilet, and there was a beggar. And he accosted me for money. And I did this. I said, I haven't got any. And I totally empathized with him, and he with me. It's the only time a beggar has ever empathized with me. You know, when you have nothing left, you become very dependent. And the lady in our story had nowhere to turn but God. Did he provide for her? We're not told. But God does promise to provide for us all when we trust in him. Psalm 37. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. It's a promise, and God keeps his promises. That's why Jesus insists, don't worry, saying, what will we eat, and what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. All these things. One of my other spiritual heroes, Charles Spurgeon, said, be wise and attend to obeying. Be wise and attend to obeying. Let Christ manage the providing. Let Christ manage the providing. So, what about you? Do you think that these promises, this role model, this woman, is an example to follow? See, too often we play it safe, don't we? We play it safe and we'll give to God with the attitude, I'll give this amount, but I'll hold back the rest just in case the Lord doesn't come through for me. And we miss the blessing of trusting him. And this applies as much to our time and our service for God as much as to our assets, our money. We play it safe. We want to stay in our comfort zone. So let me ask you, are you reckless for God? Are you extravagant with God? That's why Jesus praised this widow's giving. True giving is unpretentious. True giving is sacrificial. And true giving is reckless. Now, if you're still not convinced by Jesus' maths that this widow put in more than all the others, then let me give you just one more recent example. Hattie Mae Wyatt stood crying near a church where she'd been turned away because they were too crowded, she was told. I can't go to Sunday school, she sobbed to the preacher as he walked by. And the preacher looked at her shabby, unkempt appearance and guessed there was another reason why she'd been turned away. Taking her by the hand, he took her inside and he found her a place in the Sunday school. She was so moved, she went to bed that night thinking about other children had no place to worship Jesus. Two years later, she died, and her parents called for the preacher, Dr. Russell H. Conwell, to take the service and make the funeral arrangements. And they told him that they found a little purse among her possessions in which there were 57 cents and a note scribbled in childish handwriting, this is to help build the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school. And for 2 years, she'd collected the tiny, almost worthless coins. And after the funeral, the mother handed Russell that little bag with the 57 cents. And this is what he did. He took it to the church and he stated that this was the first gift toward the new Sunday school building. And he offered those 57 cents for sale. And he says, I received $250 for those 57 cents. It was a lot of money in those days. And 54 of those cents were returned to me by the people who'd bought them. And so I put them in a frame where they could be seen, and I exhibited them, and we received by the sale of the $250 changed into pennies enough to buy the next house to the church. And I walked over to see Mr. Baird, who lived on the corner, and I asked him what he wanted for that lot. He said $30,000, and I told him that I had 54 cents toward the $30,000, but we were foolish enough to think that sometime we would yet own the plot. Mr. Baird said, "I've been thinking this matter over, and I've made up my mind I will sell it to you for $25,000, and I'll take the 54 cents as the first payment, and you may give me a mortgage for the rest at 5%. And so I went back to the church, and I reported what had happened. They said, "Well, we can raise more than 54 cents, and I went over, and I left the 54 cents with Mr. Baird and took the receipt as part payment for the lot. Mr. Baird afterwards returned the 54 cents as a gift. And though we bought the plot and encouraged by God step by step, we went on constructing this church. And with that 54 cents, they not only built the church, they went on to build a university, Temple University, where thousands of young men and women have trained in medicine, law, and theology. And then they thought they'd do it again. They took those 54 cents and they sold them, and they raised enough to build what became the Samaritan Hospital, serving 30,000 people a year. And now Temple University Hospital provides free care for those unable to afford payment, regardless of race, nationality, and creed. And in Baptist Temple Church, which moved to Bluebell, Pasadena, there is a picture of Hetty, who's 57 cents, so sacrificially saved, made such remarkable history and helped inspire others to build not only a Sunday school and church, but a university and a hospital. You see, giving that God delights in is unpretentious, but it's observed by God's Son. Giving which God delights in is sacrificial. It is prized in God's economy. And giving which God delights in is reckless. Reckless because it demonstrates complete trust in God's provision. Let's test the Lord in this matter. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that this story, this incident in the temple is recorded for our benefit. Please help us to reflect upon our giving back to your work, a small proportion of all that you have blessed us with, materially and spiritually. And may our giving indeed be unpretentious, sacrificial, and reckless. We ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.